We are who you say we are. We are children of God, and we say that with confidence, even though we might feel fear about what we're facing, even though people may have said things to us that are not what you would say, and perhaps those things have made us feel flat and crushed. But we choose to trust you, Lord Jesus, to trust that what you say about us is true, that we belong to you, that you have won us back from sin and death, and that nothing can harm us because you are for us. And we praise and we thank you for that, Lord Jesus, for those truths that you won for us on the cross. Praise you, Jesus. We love you. Amen. Amen. Please do take a seat. Very warm welcome to our lunchtime service, especially if you're new. My name is Sophie and I'm the curate, one of the vicars here in the church. And we're very excited to have Chris Stewart lead worship for us today. Some of you may well remember that he used to lead worship for us, but then has gone full-time at HTB. Obviously, they're giving him a lot more time in the sun than we are. Don't know, you know, not working as hard, clearly. But it's really wonderful to have you back, Chris, so thank you so much. And now over to Jeremy.
Thank you very much. It is indeed a brutal regime here at St. Margaret Lothbury, where we never see daylight. But it's great to see you all here, and thank you for coming. May I read you a few verses from Romans chapter 5 and beginning at verse 15. Romans chapter 5 and beginning at verse 15. Paul writes, "But the gift is not like the trespass. For the many died by the trespass of the one man. How much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? Nor can the gift of God be compared with the result of one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation, but the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. For if by the trespass of one man death reigned through the one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ?" Generosity is a very attractive quality. We appreciate that when we come across people who are generous in whatever way they show it. It's a quality that changes situations and makes a difference to individuals. And it's about the generosity of God in Jesus Christ and the difference that makes that the Apostle Paul is writing here. Those first century Christians in Rome, living as they were in a competitive and self-indulgent city, inevitably needed to pause and focus and be reminded of the difference that the generosity of God in Jesus could make. Paul was clearly determined to encourage them about this. Five times in these verses, Paul, in writing about God's engagement with them, refers to the gift that he's given them. And the word that he uses in the original was a word used at that time for a birthday present or some other kind of personal present within a family. God is giving you something, he says. God wants to make a present to you. But he starts by pointing to the bigger picture of humanity's situation before Jesus came. We see that in verse 12. "Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man and death through sin, and in this way death came to all people because all sinned." And having given that particularly gloomy assessment of the situation, Paul moves swiftly on by saying, but that's not the whole story. Hope breaks through very quickly. At the end of verse 14, we read about Adam being the pattern of the one to come. He caused chaos, but that wasn't the total assessment of what he did. Another translation of the Bible puts it much more clearly when we read, "But Adam, who got us into this, also points ahead to the one who'll get us out of it, and the one whom we now know as Jesus Christ." In verses 15 and 16, Paul develops this. It's not simply that the Lord Jesus will restore what Adam's sin lost, not just reverse in human beings the impact of Adam's sin, a kind of humanity coming home to how things were. In Jesus, God is so much more generous than that. He was committed to fulfilling the plans that he'd always had for human beings. The gift of which Paul wrote five times, the gift of life made available in Jesus Christ, was one characterized by people flourishing rather than living with the impact of sin. Now, it all sounds great. It started with everything hopeless. In Jesus, everything's changed. Well, what does that mean for you and me every day? Well, Paul uses three words which help us understand what this life will be like. The first is grace, and this underlines the cost of God's generosity in Jesus, that generosity that took him to the cross. And reflecting on grace and the cost calls us to a deeper sense of gratitude, but also raises our expectations of him. If his commitment to you and me knew no limits, we can naturally become bolder in what we ask of him. If he loved us enough to go to the cross, he wants us to be bold in how we pray. And I wonder how bold, how specific, and how direct we are. The first word is grace. The second word is justification, being right with God. This speaks of a relationship where we can be open and honest about where we are and how we feel. A relationship where we don't have to pretend. And that's the way Jesus wants us to relate to him. It's the reason why we take prayer ministry so seriously here. Because it's for you and me to say to Jesus, "This is the hassle of the moment. This is where I need your help. I don't know how to respond to this, but I need to be honest about how I feel." Being right with God allows us to be totally honest with him. There's grace, there's justification, and then this extraordinary thing about reigning in life in Jesus. It's a word that underlines that we're in partnership with him, in partnership with the ascended Jesus, who already reigns. Working with him in partnership, we are to be agents of change, reflecting in some small way the change that he has brought. We need to be asking ourselves in a positive way, what impact are we making? Because reigning with him means that we're going to be agents of change. A grace that calls us to be bold. Justification that calls us to be honest. Reigning that calls us to be those who want to make an impact in partnership with Jesus. All this, we're told in verse 17, is something we're to receive. But that seems so passive, just waiting for it to come. The feel of the word is it's something we're going to grasp with both hands. We think this gift is extraordinary. We can so often lose sight of the fact that God has given us such an extraordinary gift in the life that he's done. Will we be people who are bold, honest, and determined to change?